So we're continuing our little series on the Beatitudes. We just taught us so much. It started off with that most important one that says, blessed are those who realize their need for God. Because that's when my whole life starts changing. That moment when I realize that I can't stand on my own feet, but I need to stand before God. And He is the one who walks with me, who carries me, who takes care of me all the time. And that's the foundation on which they all build. And it's going to be a little part of the foundation of our text today. Because our text today comes from Matthew 5, and it's only one verse, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, if ever there is a word that is open to so much and has been open to so much misinterpretation, it is that wee little word in there called pure. What does it mean? For some, immediately when they say pure, the word pure goes to the moral sense of pure, the sexual sense of pure. You're keeping yourself pure, you're keeping yourself alone, away. There it starts. For some folks, it's kind of a little more of the innocence, the being naive, not even seeing these other things. For some folks, the word pure has everything to do with the Levitical sense of don't do this, don't touch that, don't eat this, wash your feet like this, wash your hands like that. What does Jesus mean when He speaks of blessed are those who are pure of heart? I think it starts when we go back to that first beatitude, where it starts out and I start looking at my own life and I say to myself, I can't do this alone. I need God to walk me through this life, because if I don't have God, where will I be? How is my life going to look like? My life is a mess. So I'm blessed when I realize I need God and I have to walk with God. But we said in the second, third Beatitudes, what that does, it opens my eyes, not just to who I am, but also to how God's world looks like. And it opens my eyes to those who are with me in this world. And it changes my whole life that I want to care about them. And that brings this movement into my life saying, but I want to live my life for God and for God alone. We have this beautiful word in our language. I want to make a total commitment to God. But a total commitment to God does not mean that I speak about God, that I tell people about God, that I do little things for God as if I can do that. Total commitment to God starts in a certain place, says Jesus. It starts with a change of heart. Now, although I show to my heart, and it might sit a little more this way, although I show my heart, when Jesus speaks of pure of heart, He's not talking about this thing that pumps the blood in my body. He uses it in the biblical, especially the Old Testament sense, where the heart is seen as the core of my whole being. Proverbs 6:23 says it so beautifully. Be very careful with what is going on in your heart, for it will determine your whole life. Blessed are those whose hearts are such that it can determine their whole life. Living for God, living with God, making a commitment with God starts with me giving Him my heart so that He can make the heart. And now I'm going to go back to that little word, pure. The Greek word for pure is the word katharos, and I'm going to give you, if you can tell me what katharos means in English, or the word that we know in English, I'll buy you a coffee, because you actually know the word. Who said that? Kimberly, I owe you a coffee. Catharsis. Yes, you know the Greek word. The word he uses here is katharos. Katharos means unspoiled, untouched, not mixed, undivided. My life changes the day that I allow God into my life, and I allow God in such a way that my heart, my life is undivided, belongs to God. That means, and we have slides for this, that means that when I look at my priorities, that I make God priority number one, and I put up the triangle or the pyramid of Christian priorities. And I can tell you all of these from Scripture, but I'm not going to do that. We don't have time for that. But if you go look at Scripture, it starts, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Nothing be in front of God. Priority number one is God. When you look at that further, you'll say, you have a spouse, partner, that's your priority number two. Then comes your family. Then comes work, and then comes all the other junk. So, pure heart says God's priority number one. What happens to us? Change that slide, please. We change them up. And God kind of moves down a little bit, right? Even for me, let me stand here today and let me confess. As a young minister, my work was everything because I thought, I'm a minister, I work for God, so that has to be my number one priority. God at all wrong. God is my number one priority. Elsie is my number two priority. Work comes way beyond my family. Can't be number one, despite the fact that my work is to be a minister. But when we do this, just flip the slide, it doesn't stay like that, unfortunately, because it doesn't balance. And then we wonder, what's going on with our lives? Why is it so messed up? Because I messed up the way that God wants me to be. Blessed are those whose hearts are pure, who have their priorities right, knowing that God is number one, and it builds from there. Thank you, Ted. But it also means that it's not God plus. Because that's, and I think there was a little polemic in what Jesus was doing here. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, what did they say? Love God, but wash your hands. Love God, clean your feet. Love God, you're only allowed to eat certain foods. Love God, and there's 623 rules and regulations that you have to keep as well. A pure heart says, God. My heart belongs to God, undivided. I don't need a plus. I don't need an extra. Pure heart, undivided, katharos heart is also a heart that says, there is nothing else that can compare with you. Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. You will either love one and hate the other. You will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can only serve one master. I cannot say, Lord, I serve you, and then I serve the world as well. Lord, I serve you, and I serve whatever as well. Undivided heart means God, and God alone becomes the center, because that determines my whole life. Why do our hearts get divided? The problem is partly God's fault. Sorry, I mean that tongue in cheek. Because God made this amazing, beautiful creation, and he said, it's yours, and enjoy it. And sometimes we can't keep our hands off God's creation, and we just want to do it all. So instead of saying, and let me just give it, it's just a simple example. I can go to Bible study, or I can go out and go have a party tonight. Which one am I going to choose? Boy, it's sometimes so difficult. Unfortunately, sometimes that's what the world does. It just kind of pulls us and it divides the heart. Sometimes what happens to us is we become a little bored. And we have so much. What else can I do? What else do I want? What else more do I want? A little story for you that explains that, and I'm just going to read it. And forgive me, it's quite a little bit to read, but listen, it's a fun story. It's called Hope for the Flowers, written by Trina Paulus. It's about a little caterpillar called Stripe. Once upon a time, a tiny striped caterpillar burst out from the egg that had been its home. "Hello, world," he said. "It's sure bright out here in the sun, and I'm hungry." And straight away he began to eat the leaf he was born on. Then another leaf, and another, and another. And he got bigger and bigger until one day he stopped eating and thought, there must be more to life than just eating and getting bigger. So Stripe called down from a tree that had shaded and fed him and started searching for more. He found many new things, grass, dirt, holes, bugs. Everything fascinated him, but nothing satisfied him. When he came across others like himself, he was excited. But these crawlers were so busy eating that they had no time to talk. "They don't know any more than I do," sighed Stripe. And then one day, Stripe saw some crawlers really crawling to reach somewhere. Looked around, saw a great column rising into the air, made solely of squirming and pushing caterpillars, a caterpillar pillar. It appeared that all the caterpillars were trying to reach the top. Stripe felt new excitement like sap rising in the spring as he thought, maybe now I'll find what I'm looking for. So intrigued, he asked the crawler, what's happening?
Nobody has time to explain, said the other. They're busy trying to get up there.
But what's at the top?
Well, no one knows either. But it must be good because everybody's rushing there. Goodbye.
And the crawler plunged back into the pile. Stripe's head was bursting with excitement. There's only one way to find out, he decided, and he pushed himself in. The first moments in the pile were a shock. Stripe was pushed and kicked and stepped on from every direction. It was a climb or be climbed on. No more fellow caterpillars on Stripe's pile. They became only threats and obstacles, which he turns into steps and opportunities. This single-minded approach really helped, and Stripe felt that he was getting much higher. Some days it seems he could manage only to keep his pace. It was especially then that an anxious shadow nagged inside. What's at the top? It whispers. Where are we going? On one exasperated day, Stripe couldn't stand it any longer and he actually yelled back, I don't know, but there's no time to think about it. A little yellow caterpillar was crawling over. He was crawling over, gasped, and he said, what did you say?
I was just talking to myself, Stripe mumbled. Isn't really important. I was just wondering, where are we going?
Blessed are those whose hearts are pure, undivided, belong to God. But we can't do that. We can't do that on our own because we do the little Stripe thing. One thing, and then the other thing, and then more things, and this thing, and God just kind of moves back. The only way that this can happen is if we do what our good friend David did. Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. It's to stand before God because David knew that. David had a heart that belonged to God. What happened to his son Solomon? Solomon had a divided heart. What happened when Solomon had a divided heart? Now God, now Solomon, now God, now Solomon, now God, and then it's Solomon, Solomon, Solomon. And he lost everything. His son Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the boys that came after, what happened? Kingdom disappeared. A heart for God, half a heart for God, no heart for God. Blessed are those whose hearts are pure, undivided. For they will, and then there's that beautiful little piece, they will see God. Doesn't mean one day when we get in the kingdom, they will see God in all they do. In everything they need, they will see God and they will walk with God and their heart will be undivided, before God. Young man said once he wasn't a Christian and people tried to convince him to become a Christian. But all they were doing, he said, they were trying to tell him, what happens if you die? What happens if you go meet God today? What happens? And they wanted him, he said, it felt like to put on colored glasses that would make things look different. Until the day he said he met God. And then he realized God didn't want him to wear any kinds of glasses. God actually wanted him to take the glasses off that made him see the wrong things and see God for who God really is. Once I allow God to take over my heart, I will see God for who He is. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us that heart. For your heart was so undivided that you gave it freely to each one of us. Help us then, Lord, to give these hearts to you so that you might cleanse them, creating us a clean heart. Renew our spirits that you will be number one. Not all kinds of rules and regulations and things, but you. That walk with you. That holding your hand, that being with you. And it's difficult, Lord, because we live in a world where there are so many things that are pulling and pushing, and we get onto that caterpillar pillar and we go, Lord, and sometimes we have no idea. And before we know it, the hearts are divided. Help us to see you, to focus on you. For we are so blessed that we know that we are dependent on you and that you take care of us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.